I'm here today with a man that has been called the godfather of Silicon Valley, Mr. Guy Kawasaki. Guy Kawasaki was an Apple fellow at Apple Computer Incorporated. He was one of the Apple employees originally responsible for marketing the Macintosh back in 1984. Guy is noted for having brought the concept of evangelism to the Apple brand, the idea of creating passionate user advocates for Apple. And by the results, it seems to have worked. Guy has since become a prolific entrepreneur, early stage technology investor, best-selling author, and highly demanded keynote speaker. Guy has written 9 books, including Reality Check, The Art of the Start, Rules for Revolutionaries, How to Drive Your Competition Crazy, and Selling the Dream. Guy is the co-founder at AllTop, an online aggregator of news and opinion content on a wide variety of topics. He's also the managing director of Garage Technology Ventures, which specializes in funding high-tech startup firms located in Silicon Valley. Today, I'm thrilled to sit down with Guy to discuss his principles on entrepreneurship, social networking, as well as some basic rules for getting a business funded and started. Guy Kawasaki, welcome to success, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I'll just let people kiss my ring from now on.
That's right. So Guy, this month in Success, we're talking about jumpstarting your life in the new year. So as an expert on starting new businesses and then successfully marketing them, what kind of advice can you give our listeners in terms of starting a new business or rejuvenating an old one?
Well, these are very interesting times, to put it mildly and euphemistically. The thing about it is it depends on how you want to look at the world. You can look at the world right now as, you know, half empty or half full. Let's go with the negative approach first. Half empty, you would say we're in a deep recession, nobody's buying anything, it's tough to make a sale. Half full, from an entrepreneur standpoint, you look at it and you say, well, people are cheaper, you know, good news, bad news, but people are cheaper because there's so much unemployment. Using things like blogging and Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, marketing is cheap. Infrastructure, you know, you can get just huge servers, huge bandwidth, and huge pipes, and very inexpensively. And the tools, particularly for tech companies, development tools, compilers, languages, stuff like that, they're pretty much all open source and free. So it happens to be, in a sense, a very good time to start a company, because whereas a few years ago you had to raise $1 million and, you know, go off and work for a year and pray that you finish something, well, now with all these free tools and lower rent and cheaper people and free marketing, you don't need venture capital as much, or at least you can put off raising venture capital till later. So it would be foolish for an entrepreneur to think, well, I'll wait till the recession end, and then when the good times return, that's when I'll start the company. You should start the company now in anticipation of this cycle coming to an end, and it will end.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, and something we support wholeheartedly here at Success, that these are the times of great opportunity, and when the tide turns, you know, to be in front of the wave rather than trying to catch up to it. Are more companies concentrating on growing before going to firms like yours to ask for money? And how can an entrepreneur, what are some of the steps or suggestions about growing organically before they step into the boardroom of a venture capitalist or even go out and try to secure angel funding? So talk about that garage process before going into the boardrooms of venture capitalists.
Well, in an ideal scenario, you would never need venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
You would prototype something, it takes off, you bootstrap it, you have a model where people are paying as they go, or people are paying, you know, in sort of real time, or certainly not 6 months billing kind of thing. And so the ideal thing is to never need venture capital. Short of that, you want to push off venture capital as long as possible. I will say that 90% of the action is to create a great product. And so all of marketing and sales and hiring and all that good stuff gets a lot easier if you are involved with something that's golden. If you are marketing and selling crap, it's a lot harder in all circumstances.
Yeah, and one of the things I don't think entrepreneurs understand, being an angel investor myself, is that once they take on angel or venture capital, they've decided to sell their company. Because the only thing that matters to an investor is an exit strategy. So they're either going to sell it or it's going to be merged. But a lot of companies who think they're going to have a lifestyle operation and this romance is going to go on for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it's not the case. You bring on outside investments, you've decided to sell your company. Now, let's move on to social media. You're highly visible in the social networking scene with blogging and Twittering. Talk to us about how entrepreneurs can use these tools, even because they're so pervasive out there. But I think still a lot of entrepreneurs are unsure about how to really use these tools, some of the dangers that they can lead to, and really how to use them productively to generate business. Give us some of your advice in that regard.
Well, I think the key to some of these social or all these social media tools is to have more friends or followers or whatever. It's a numbers game. And so the more people who are following you, the more opportunities there are to tell your story, to promote, to offer sales, to do whatever you want to do. Now, the question becomes, how do you get more followers? And people don't follow you because you're always promoting to them. People follow you because you're informing them. So you need to fundamentally be informing people 99% of the time, and 1% of the time you can promote your company. So the question becomes, how do you inform 99% of the time? And on Twitter in particular, many people tweet stuff like, my cat rolled over, I have a migraine headache today, I'm cheering for the 49ers. You know, like, who cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they care about is, you know, find me an interesting link. If you are an expert in marketing, send me an interview with a marketing expert. Send me a link to a webpage that explains the top 10 ways to write a better press release. You know, inform me. And so if you inform people, they see you as a natural source of information. They'll also tell other people, you know, you ought to follow that guy because that guy has interesting tweets, interesting profile updates, interesting whatever, interesting blog that's educational and informative. So it's kind of like the PBS model, right? So PBS has to have good content in order to run the telethon. You have to have good content in order to earn the right to promote your product or service once in a while.
Now, I sent before this interview, I sent out a tweet that asked my followers if they wanted to ask Guy Kawasaki a question. So I'm going to do that while we're on the topic of Twitter. And it comes from Cole Veerwerk. And he asks, you know, what does your day look like? How much time do you devote to social media? How do you mix and match that with all the other responsibilities that you've got, Guy?
Well, my primary responsibility is to make Alltop successful. So while I'm a venture capitalist, I'm more active in doing Alltop. And so Alltop is achieving success because of Twitter. In terms of creating topics, spreading the word, the page views, all of that's Twitter. And so if I'm at my computer, I'm on Twitter. I have, you know, Entourage in one window, Twitter in another, and if I'm writing, you know, Mars Edit or Word in another window. So those three things or four things are always open. So I'm on a computer roughly 6 to 7 hours a day. So 6 to 7 hours, I'm tweeting. Now, many people look at this and say, Guy, how can you tweet so much? Well, for me, and I'm not saying anybody else, but for me, tweeting is my job. I tweet in order to make Alltop successful.
While we're on the topic of Twitter, if you could just give us a couple more pointers on what you think Twitter's best features are, its worst, how to use the tool, and mistakes to potentially avoid.
Well, the best part of Twitter is that it's ubiquitous, it's free, and it's immediate. And I can't think of another medium that's all of that's true. With Twitter, man, you get up in the morning, you want to promote something, you do it immediately, it goes out, you know, in a second, goes to a lot of people, they retweet it, life is good. So Twitter is a beautiful thing for a marketing person. I can't think of a downside of Twitter. I mean, you know, it's free, fast, and ubiquitous. I mean, what's not to love?
Let's say you're an accountant.
Okay.
How does an accountant use Twitter, and to what percentage are they driving Twitter versus whatever else is involved with their profession?
Now, on Twitter, you can do an advanced search, something like anybody who mentions the word tax returns within 50 miles of my zip code. You could do that. So in March and April, you could run that search on Twitter. And if somebody says, I need help with my tax returns, you could say, oh, you know, that person is within 50 miles of me, and send them a tweet and say, I'm an accountant, I can help you. Yeah, I don't know. That could work. I mean, who knows?
I think that's a great idea. I mean,
it could work.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a car repair shop, you could search for the word brake job within 50 miles of your zip code. And anytime somebody says, yeah, my Audi needs a brake job, and you're within 50 miles of that car repair shop, you could send them a tweet that says, all right, send us the year and model. We'll give you a quote.
Hmm.
But you know, I'm not trying to make the case that Twitter is for everybody. On the other hand, you know, television advertising isn't for everybody. Neither is radio.
Yeah, some great distinctions there. So, Guy, tell us about Alltop. Just tell us, what is it?
Okay, how people should approach Alltop is they should think of it as an online magazine rack. And what we've done is we've assembled racks by topics, organized by topics. And in those racks, we have subscribed, if you will, to the information feeds from specific websites and blogs. So now, instead of having a bookmark for Inc. and a bookmark for Entrepreneur and a bookmark for Success and a bookmark and a bookmark and a bookmark, instead of this, if you went to smallbusiness.alltop, there we have subscribed to all these magazines and websites. We display the last five headlines of each of them. And if you mouse over the headline, we show you the first paragraph of each story so that you can see if you really want to read them. So the purpose of Alltop is to provide you aggregated information by topic that's already created for you. That's what we do.
So before we get into our last question, Guy, you know, Success Magazine is the preeminent personal achievement publication. That's really what we're after, is helping people excel in every area of their lives. You know, success is defined by all five areas: business, wealth, relationships, well-being, and making a difference. So I'm curious, because you have been very successful at many ventures, I'm curious about some of your own sort of personal achievement habits or behaviors. You know, how you keep yourself motivated, how do you motivate those around you? What are some of your personal achievement strategies that you think have been useful to you that you can impart to our listeners?
The secret to my success is that I am willing to grind it out.
Hmm.
And a lot of people are not. And I actually love the grinding it out. And one example of that is writing a book. Writing a book is painful. But if you're truly writing it, it's not about the writing. It's about the editing. That's where a book is made, the editing. And so I am willing to edit. I am willing to go page by page over and over and over again. And so with Alltop, it's a grind. You know, one of the lessons that every entrepreneur needs to learn is entrepreneurship is not an event. It is a process. And so many people think, well, the hard part is shipping. Well, yeah, shipping is hard, but the day after you ship, now you have to start fixing and you have to support and you have to make the next version and you have to do the other things. So, you know, it is a marathon. And in fact, it's a triathlon, because you have to be good at raising money, selling stuff, collecting stuff, motivating people. Maybe it's a decathlon. you have to be good at a lot of things, and it's going to last a long time. And if you know, when you read these stories about, oh yeah, Joe and Jane, they were instant successes. They launched in January. By February, they're cash flow positive. By July, Google had bought them for $25 million. And you think, oh yeah, that's how entrepreneurship starts. You know, that's how it works. You launch a company, you get some success, and Google calls you up and says, here's a check for $25 million. You know, can we buy you? Well, the reason why you read that story is because it hardly ever happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it happened like that to everybody, guess what? It wouldn't be news. It would not be in the paper. It would not be online. So you cannot model your expectations and your processes based on hearing about this great case. It would be like saying that, you know, Wayne Gretzky was an instant success. In his second game, he scored 3 goals. In his first season, he broke the record for scoring and all that. So forget it. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to study. I'm going to be the next Wayne Gretzky. You know what? On several levels, that's wrong. One is, there is only one Wayne Gretzky at any given moment in the NHL, right? So there are 50,000 kids in Canada who want to be the next Wayne Gretzky or the next Sidney Crosby, guess what? Three of them might be. The other 49,997, you know, if they're not careful, they're going to be driving a Zamboni the rest of their life, right? So, you know, it's you can't model against this extreme. It is a process and it takes grinding. So the secret to my success is I am willing to grind.
Truly some of the best advice I think any entrepreneur can hear. It's a grind and it's going to require you grinding it out.
Well, the beauty is if you're an entrepreneur, you enjoy the grind. Mm. You have to be somewhat masochistic to be an entrepreneur. Let's just face it.
Very interesting, guys. So one last question we'd like to ask all our experts, whether you believe yourself to be one or not, we do here. We'd like to ask, you know, your view, you write books, you're an advocate of constantly learning. Why should somebody read a book like you would write or read a publication like Success Magazine?
Because in this process, in this grind, why not make it less of a grind? Because you don't win points for doing things the hard way. So if you can read a book or a magazine and find something that'll shorten the process, that'll make it easier, all these things, these little lessons, let me tell you something. And I love Starbucks, so don't get me wrong. Starbucks is a sponsor of All Top. I love them. You could have one less cup of coffee and all the wisdom in Success Magazine. That's kind of a no-brainer. You know, the key to entrepreneurship is grinding through this process and getting from point A to point B, but that doesn't mean you have to take the hardest way to go from point A to point B. So, you know, benefit from the scars and lessons and mistakes that I made. Why repeat mine? At least make new mistakes.
Well, Guy, this has not only been an enlightening, but a very fun interview. And I much appreciate you joining us and sharing your great wisdom with our readers. Thanks for being with us, Guy.
Thank you.